And I just want you to know that I thank God for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for your faith. I want to honor your decision to stay following God with everything that's going on. I tell you what, if we've ever doubted our faith, it should be clear to us now how much we need our faith. Amen? So I'm just thankful that we get the opportunity to come and worship God. Amen? You know, I want you to know that for all of this time, it was God's decision to bring humanity together. Amen? It wasn't our decision. It was Him letting us know what we need. And I want you to know that we need to live strong for Him as an individual, but I also want you to know that we need a family of faith to be a part of and come in and have the opportunity to worship Him together. So I'm glad we get that this morning, and we just want to rejoice and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Well, stand to your feet with us this morning. And as you're standing, Psalms 98:4 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice and sing His praises." Amen. So let's do that this morning.
But now I'm His grace and mercy is my testimony. For every victory, I've got a song to say. Jesus, He lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony. For every victory, I've got a song to say. Jesus, He lifted me. Jesus, He lifted me. Jesus, He lifted me. Yeah, give Him a shout of praise. Worthy are You.
a new song to our house. The words are going to be up on the screen. And I want you to know that God's never forsaken you. He's never left you. And that he loves you extremely. That he sent his son Jesus to die just for you. If it was just for one, he would have done it anyway. As I walk now through the valley.
Spirit out on you now and refresh you. There's a work to do. My people are out there needing you. So let me refresh you so that you're ready. Thank you. about an angel that was loyal to God during the fall of the angels. And the way it was written since then, I've been much more sensitive, or try to be more sensitive, to the angels surrounding us and being part of the worship that we have. Especially during the worship things, I try to open myself to feel their presence and their voices joining with us and amplifying what we're doing. And often it does feel like there's angels surrounding us, but what I'm feeling right now is that the Spirit is so powerful and here that the angels are so thick, shoulder to shoulder, that it's spreading clear over the ball field. So I really feel the power is with us today, and it's creating not just an amplified, but a roar of praise to heaven.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But we're just going to take a few minutes and pray, just because the Lord was just moving upon my spirit. And Father, I thank you that according to the word, that the Bible says times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that our hearts would be open, Father, that we could receive that refreshing. When we're giving you praise and when we come together, there's a refreshing, God. There's a stirring, Father. Lord, there's an emboldening that's happening by your Spirit, God. That, Father, we can rise up with the Spirit of the Lord upon us, that we can be quickened, Father, Lord, to live in the power of faith and to live in the power of your presence. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just strengthen us and you infuse us, God, and that, Father, we are stirred by your refreshing, Father, and that we can see the restitution of all things, God, and we can see your purpose come to pass in our life. Father, right now, across this nation, God, we ask for a refreshing, Father. Lord, we ask for healing, a restoration, God, of hope, and just strengthen us all, God, that, Father, in this time, we'd adhere to the most important thing, and that's you. And, God, we just declare it and give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Have Jesus. Any of you heard the phrase, which I'm sure this generation has, maybe my generation, not so much if you don't have kids, but pay to play? Listen, if you play with the devil, you're going to pay. It's an absolute pay to play. Amen. We watch these people out here that kill themselves. They've got all the money in the world. They've got all the fame in the world. They've got everything that we think would bring peace, right? The problem is they signed on with the wrong God. And they had to pay to play.
Amen.
And they paid with their life, and now they'll pay with eternity if they didn't cry out for Jesus with their last breath.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Listen, our God is the God that gives to you more abundantly.
Amen.
The payment is life and life everlasting with our God. This struck me on the way here. We were talking about another situation, and we see evil going on in the world, and we see all these situations happening, and we see just everybody sees things differently. And I'm not going to say what we see, but we see, you know, things happening where we believe is unfair, or it's the riots are going on. They're storming our capital. Like, these things are wrong, regardless of who it's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
So we see that stuff. And so Phil and I are talking, and we are talking about the things that are being said and put out there purposefully that's not correct, and trying to sway the minds and the hearts of the people.
Amen.
Because how do you get control? Through information.
Amen.
Right? Through what I tell you to believe is what you're going to believe. Mm-hmm. That's why the word says to study to show yourself approved.
Amen. Praise God.
That nobody in here should just be coming in here and listening to a word preached by a man, by a human.
Amen.
And never crack a book open and study for himself. Amen. What if he was preaching heresy?
Amen.
Now he's not.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, the only way you're going to know is if you crack that book yourself and you ask the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's how cults happen.
Yeah.
Just so you know, like you say, how can a person get caught up in a cult? Because they allow somebody to take over their life so much that all the information, all the stuff going into their ears, everything they're being told is by that one person.
Amen. Absolutely.
And so we talked about this a little bit as we were coming in, and we said, you know, and that's when God I just believe he dropped it into my spirit. And he said, it's a pay to play.
Amen.
It's a pay to play. Mm-hmm. You might get what you want in this world. You might get all the riches. Mm-hmm. You might get all the fame. Mm-hmm. You might get all the power that you think you want. Mm-hmm. There's price.
Amen. Praise God.
And the enemy is going to come and demand it of them.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And we hope that we get to them first and tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
So that they can repent. Amen. So they can repent.
Amen.
Even if it's their last breath.
Amen. Praise God.
But the joy that you have, the peace that you have,
amen,
the promise that you have, is that if we stay the course, we shall, if we endure to the end, we will be saved.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Just keep walking.
Amen.
Keep your focus.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus is good.
Okay, so what do we got going on? We got lots going on. Let's just get through the announcements quickly so you can move on with service. Man, this presence is awesome. And I want to, not that I think that God's going to move because we're doing announcements. Leave. That's what I mean, leave. He's going to stay right here with us. But we do have the XO conference coming up. And I can kind of see some of you. It's hard to, I'm going to step out here away from these bright lights that are blinding me. Okay, so on Friday, we say we're going to start at 8 now because they were doing the conference on a Thursday and a Friday night, and that didn't fit our schedule. So we said, we'll watch the rerun, and we'll do it on a Friday and Saturday night. Well, they changed their venue, and they changed their time, so now they're live streaming on Friday night, okay? So that means that it starts at 8 o'clock because they're in Texas, and we're an hour ahead of them, right? I said that wrong the other day. We're an hour ahead of them, so that means we're going to start at 8 o'clock. So we'll go a little bit longer on Friday night. There's going to be snacks and drinks. Sign up. But my question is, there are day sessions that happen from like 12 or 1 o'clock on, and I'm looking for the schedule. They haven't quite put out exactly what that's going to be yet, so I keep looking for it. But is there people that would be interested? Because Phil and I are more than happy to come in and even watch these day sessions if we've got people that are interested and are able to come during the day and watch the day sessions as well.
Amen.
So if you would even be halfway interested in that, if you don't want to raise your hand now because you don't like, come and tell me so that we know if we can open it up, okay? I was going to ask them to raise their hands, but none of them looked like they were too going to raise their hands, and I didn't feel like being rejected today.
In today's world, with schedules, you know, sometimes people have to work in the evening and stuff
which
like that.
Which we fully understand.
So if there's something we can do
which
during
is why
the day
we don't
for
do
you.
The, that's what, why we don't even schedule the day schedules. But then we thought, we start talking, we said, well, if anybody's interested in it, we would certainly open it up to you. So, okay, so we have that going on. And then we have our teens are going to start meeting one Saturday a month. And that's going to be the
Sunday.
One Sunday, yeah. Sorry. Who comes to church on Saturday?
Hallelujah.
I don't know. I just switched our religion all around or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
We're coming on Sunday, the third Sunday of the month. It's going to start in February because Pastor and I are going on vacation starting the 23rd. And we've got Pastor Nicole coming in on that third Sunday. So we want him in here to hear her. So, yes, Pastor Nicole Waters, if you're not familiar with that name, Pastor Peter Dosick is our pastor. He's the apostle of this church. He started this church. We are under him, and that's his daughter.
Amen.
And let me tell you what, if you have not heard her, I would break those doors. Don't break them, but punch those doors really hard to get in here to hear her, because she has an amazing delivery and an amazing way that she brings things forward that helps you to see things in different ways, but it's the word. I mean, it's absolutely the word, but it's amazing.
I want you to know that is the idea, not just when we go on vacation, but when we have times for guest speakers to come in here. Understand this, that is part of the will of God and the provision of God for you.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says that the Lord puts in the church pastors, prophets, teachers, apostles, evangelists, because when they come in, they add to us for the perfecting of the saints. Believe it or not, all of you can't hear me all the time. How do I know that? Because I've had speakers come in to say something that I've said to you 1,000 times, and people will come up to me, oh, that was such a great word. They said this or that, and I think, yeah,
or we'll
go
to eat at the restaurant with the speaker, and they'll say, oh, this person came up to me and told me this, and they hit it right on what they're talking about. We're like, Phil just told them that on Thursday night.
I've been hitting on that, but it's okay. That's how it's supposed to work. And sometimes, as a pastor, I'm just sowing a seed, right? The Lord says you plant and water, and he gives the increase. So this is why it's so important. We need different voices. And also, just like you said, I don't ever want to be one voice in your life. Now, I don't expect you to go get 1,000 other voices either, but I want you to add to yourself some information that you can fully grow and develop. Does that make sense? So these opportunities, when we're not here, or I'm not preaching per se, is not something that you want to devalue or stay away from. I'm telling you, come and pour yourself into that moment as much as you would any other time. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're going to get filled. Listen, I want you to know something, that any given time that you have an opportunity to come to a service and the enemy fights you or steals that from you, I'm telling you, something's being stolen in the supernatural realm for you. I can tell you, especially early on, some of the most profound moments we had within a service was moments where we could have easily not been there. But we fight off challenge, get there, and I'm telling you, God will make deposits in you. And this is on a regular basis.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, when I see Christians get derailed from their faith the most is when they stop putting themselves in a position where God is in putting in them, and part of that is coming to the church. And I tell you what, when I see Christians that allow that time in the combined unity of the faith, because there's a commanded blessing, there's a presence, and there's a deposit release from God that happens in the sanctuary that doesn't happen anywhere else. And I tell you what, you're going to get a lot of your most deepest revelations on your own somewhere seeking God. But I'm going to tell you, there's some infusement moments of faith that are going to come upon you when you're in the church together that are so profound that if you go constantly without receiving that, you're going to be weakened and stolen
from.
And
there's sometimes that we've been studying, and I know this has happened to you, but I've been studying a subject, and I'll have just like, I'll be thinking on it and be meditating on what God's telling me about it. And then that next service, I'll go in, and either pastor or whoever I've sat under, you or pastor or one of them, will say something right along the lines of what I've been studying and add to that, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That's how
also,
it's supposed to work.
We have Pastor Tim LeMaster. That Thursday, he's going to be coming in and joining you, and he is the team pastor for Bodkins. He, again, anointed man of God, don't you tell him I said this.
Woo, praise okay? God. Hallelujah.
Because I got to mess with him all the time. He doesn't know I really like him and I like hanging around him, so don't you tell him this. But he's got a very good word that he's going to bring to you, a different style that he's going to bring to you, which I think is going to add to you. And then we've got another Sunday and another Thursday that we will let you know. But Phil hates to be gone two Sundays, just to let you all know. He hates it. But the people that usually go with me on Saturday and then Phil joins us on Monday, they're not going. And he's, have you met me? He thinks I can't handle myself. So he won't let me go on vacation for 3 days by myself. Have you met me?
You need me, baby.
I can handle myself.
We two are one.
So he's going to miss two this year.
Matter.
He's not happy about it. And I just want to let you know that ahead of time. The second Sunday, we're going to be by the pool. I'm just going to be honest with you. We're going to be by the pool, and he's going to be listening to you on live stream, and I'm going to be getting, see, we should be there. He's going to like be yelling at me the whole time. So that's something I'm going to have to suffer through because he's missing two. All right. I think that's all that I have, I believe.
What are we going to do next Saturday?
Yes.
We're going to have a meeting with people that are interested in being new members next Saturday at 9 o'clock. So if that's you, sign up out there, and we're going to have a time together and talk faith and talk about the church and just get you going on what is next for you. And God is going to bless that time together. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
And also, if you've been a member, but you said, wait a minute, we've never had that before. You didn't do that for us.
Hallelujah.
You come.
Amen.
Sign your name up there. We got both of the signups that are out there in the hallway, on the table. Just sign up and come too if you want to see what it's all about. We just need to know how many to expect to know what room we're going to have it in. So absolutely, sign up and come. Praise You're God. Welcome to come as well.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we better let them powerful children, buddy, they are stirred up and ready to go, and we're going to let them get into things of faith and things of the Lord. Amen?
Oh, one more thing while they're walking out.
Yes.
The worship team is opening up. We don't do this, but maybe one or two times a year. Sometimes we skip a year. But we are opening up for auditions, so if you would like to try out for the worship team, see Linda Kaiser that's sitting right there at the keyboard, and she will let you know what steps you need to take.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I also want to mention again that coming up on the 7th of February is going to be our 10-year anniversary. Woo! Praise God. And so that's going to be a big day and some big events and so just some stuff that is going to be just a blessing because God has done a lot in us and for us. Amen? So we're going to definitely take that time. And we're going to do offering right now. And I want to remind you that in the Bible, in Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I want you to know something, that in the biblical promise of God, sowing and reaping is a part of the kingdom. Amen? In fact, in the book of Genesis, it says that seed time and harvest will be in operation from the time the earth began until the time we go up. And I want you to know something, that it is critical for you to both give and be willing to receive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the reason that is because God uses those opportunities to bring blessing into our life and to fortify us with eternal things where we are participating in the kingdom of God. Amen? I want you to know something, that in the book of Psalms, the Lord says, I believe in Psalms 40, it says that when you give, for example, unto the poor, the Bible says that the Lord will raise you up in your bed of affliction. Amen? And I just want you to know something, that the Lord needs our heart open for sowing and receiving. Amen? Now, ultimately, we know the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than to receive, but I also want you to know something, that when you start operating in the kingdom of God, first of all, you can't outgive God. Amen? And I also want you to know that God is going to cause favor. I mean, I didn't write this in here. The Lord said in here, humanity, men, both men and women, shall give into your bosom. And what that means is that God even says in the word that he will cause you to receive favor from others. God will cause doors to be opened for you. God will cause things to happen for you that you can't even account for. Amen? You know, I was taken aback because I received several moments of blessing this week that was beyond, you know, the things I could think. But I will tell you that one was really surprising because all I did was go to a store and there was a young man in there, and I'm telling you that I don't even know that he's definitely not older than 19 or 20, but it was amazing because I came to the register to pray for my groceries, and before I knew it, that young man was there, you know, wanting to just, he said, no, I have to bless you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, no. He said, I have seen you several times, and you're always blessing people, and I just want the opportunity to bless you. And I will tell you that you have no each and every one of us, God, would humble ourselves. Would humble ourselves enough to give and humble ourselves enough to receive, Father. Lord, so that you can bring your blessing and provision upon the lives of people, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Bring your offerings to the front. Hallelujah. Man, I just feel the presence of God. And I'm telling you that the Lord is going to just begin to move in such profound ways that I'm telling you that you are going to be impacted by what God does and profoundly touched by what God does. You know, I'm going to continue on our discussion, which we've been talking about, and it's called Your Choice. And, you know, we started a couple weeks ago establishing the fact that the Lord puts before mankind his plan. I want you to understand something, that God lays it out clear what he would love to have with mankind, and that is that he wants to be your God and he wants you to be his people. Amen? And he puts before you life and death, and I want you to know that the Bible says life is to submit yourself to God, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and life more abundantly comes. But the Bible's also clear that God puts out there, and it says that I will show or reveal to you both life and death, and you have to choose. In other words, we have to choose to live our life in a way that allows God to be who he wants to be in our life, or we can choose to live our life on our own, under the authority of man. And the Bible says that there is a way that seems right to man that leads to destruction. Amen? And I want you to know that the Lord would never want you in that situation or in that time. And I really want to just continue to just lay these things out for us, especially because of where we are living at today. You know, I want you to know something, that the Bible speaks of the fact that we are living at a time that the world needs to understand that what we're living in is the last dispensation of humanity before Jesus returns. Amen? And whether you've known this or not, I want you to know something, that from the moment Jesus was resurrected from the grave, all of a sudden there was a shift of us going from a past time to a new time. In other words, we have been living headed towards those last days since Jesus raised from the dead. Amen? And I want you to know something, that we need to all be aware of the fact that when we talk about the last of the last days, I'm telling you that we have come into that generation where we now have to accept the idea that the Bible says that at any moment we better be looking up, because the time is short. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, in fact, I'm going to read you just a couple scriptures from a scripture that we really don't even refer to that often in the body of Christ in regards to this. And I'm just going to look at something here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want to go down to verse 29, because Paul is talking and he's talking about marriage and we discuss all that stuff. But in verse 29, Paul says something that is very profound that I want us to grab a hold of. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, but he says this, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for those things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." I want you to know something, that even in Paul's day, he was trying to teach the church and all of us around that, listen, marriage and family is extremely important. It's what God put you here for. Amen? He was trying to teach these people that buying and selling, working in business, keeping life going is very important. But he also said, I want you to know that the time is short, so that even when you have life going on, we should never be found as a people that prioritize anything above God. I want you to know something, that we as a people and we as a nation, we can see where changes have happened in our history. Amen? I want you to know back, you go back centuries, and even Princeton, Harvard, and Yale had it in their bylaws that if I was going to receive a diploma and successfully graduate, one of the things I had to do was attend church. Woo! Didn't know that, did you? Oh, I love it. I want to challenge you to go up and look at some history, because these schools that are so liberal today, I want you to know it was in their bylaws that they said, first of all, we can't really teach you reading, writing, and arithmetic at the next level unless you are first secure in your identity in God. Wow. I'll tell you something else that'll shock your socks off. Up until 1968, a public school could not get funding from the government unless they made a commitment to teach out of the Bible. Wow. Those of you who are learning evolution, let me tell you something. Evolution was never considered an equal idea with thy theory of creation. When evolution first came out, let me tell you something, it was put out as a warning that we should never believe that evolution was possible, because we used to be so confident in creation. Some of you might not have this experience, but even me, I grew up as a young boy out in the country, and guess what? In my school, right up till I graduated, from kindergarten till 12th grade, there was two things we did to start the day. One was the Pledge of Allegiance, and the second was prayer. And so here's what I want you to know. Have we seen changes? You better believe we have. I mean, I'm telling you, who would have ever thought that we would go from outwardly saying in school, one nation under God, to where now we have even people in places of authority and leadership questioning of whether we should put one God under one nation in our words. One nation under God. Who would have ever thought that would come up as a question? Who would have ever thought that several years back there's a question of if we should put "In God We Trust" on our money? Who would ever thought these would be discussions when years ago you couldn't even open up a congressional meeting or have a governmental meeting that didn't open up in prayer? I want you to know something. Have you ever traveled to the White House? If you have traveled to the White House, when you're in that building, you will see right up along the wall, "In God We Trust." It's written in the White House. So what I want you to know is that I'm just telling you that the things about a nation and the things about a world are always going to change. And they shouldn't be confusing to us. I want to take you back to the book of Exodus just for a moment. And then we're going to just move into some of these things, because I need especially the younger generation of people to understand that all of this going on in the world is not so strange and it's not so confusing in the history of mankind. Because I want you to understand something, that in the book of Exodus, for example, praise God. Yeah, I just want to read something to you. In the book of Exodus chapter 1, it says in verse 7, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Listen, I want you to know something, that back in the day, Egypt gave honor to our God through Joseph. Joseph became the right hand of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Hey, this Israelite who believes in God, I want you to follow his voice as you're following mine." So at that time, faith and all of the things of the belief of God was raised up over a whole nation. But then after that, Pharaoh died and a new one came. It says that this man rose up that knew not Joseph. And guess what? Everything that Joseph honored and everything that they believed in was thrown to the side. Whew. And I want you to see what God said about it. And I'm just sharing this with you so that we can focus on the fact that really our biggest responsibility for leadership over our nation or anything is that we pray for those in leadership and authority. And I'm not trying to take away your rights or your individualism to have your convictions. I want you to have them. But I want you to know that when it comes to the world and when it comes to the destiny of what we're really about, I want you to be at absolute peace and confidence that no matter what goes on around you, you can never lose your mind to the point where you go scared some way and step away from your responsibility to serve God no matter what's going on and not be ashamed of who you are in him. I'm never going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus no matter what's going on around me. Amen? Whew. Because it says that the Lord was seeing and looking upon all of this. And as these things went on, I want you to understand what God had to say about it. He saw what was going on with this new Pharaoh. He saw what was going on with this new world. And he saw all this stuff. And it says right here in Exodus chapter 3 that God spoke to Moses and said, "Moreover, I am the Lord God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." In other words, the Lord was letting him know that I am the God that has been faithful over humanity no matter what generation was on this earth. Amen? And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey." I want you to see something. That the Lord says that I have heard and I have seen. Amen? And I want you to know something, that whether things are going the way that you expected them to go, or whether they're going a way that you did not expect them to go, I need you to shake yourself and understand that it does not matter who's in leadership per se, even though we can pray for that. It does not really matter what's going on in the world at large, because there is a plan of God that is going to supersede everything that mankind can think of. And there is a day of the Lord, and there's a day that Jesus is coming. Amen? And I want you to know that we're going to get to that next week. I really want you to be here for next week's Sunday service, because we're going to talk about the time that is set up for the return of the Lord. Amen? But I want you to understand something. As Christian people, now more than ever, you need to gird yourself up. Now more than ever, you need to be able to get along with people. Now more than ever, you better consider the fact that Paul said, "When I'm around the Romans, I do as the Romans do." Now, did he get into sin and all kinds of sinfulness around the Romans? No. But he was able to deal with the Romans' decisions and their culture. Why? Because he needed to keep his voice open so that faith can work in their life. Amen? Let me tell you something. If you have a relative close to you that is so politically convicted or so this convicted that you have allowed yourself to be so divisionary with them that you're not still a voice in their life, something's wrong. Let me tell you something. I have people today that completely think differently than me politically. But it doesn't stop them from, when they need prayer or when they have a need, that they reach. And I'm just telling you that we have to do our best. We don't compromise ourselves. And I'm going to get to one thing I love about today is we're going to reveal to you when you have a right to stand up in absolute rebellion. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to share with you a time where you, as God's people, get to stand up and just rebel against the status quo or against something that's requested of you. Isn't that exciting? I mean, now you guys won't be, my wife is up here saying, "Philip, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion against God is a sin of witchcraft." But I'm telling you that what I'm going to challenge you with is going to be a rebellion in a different way. So we're going to get there. Woo! Praise God. But we're going to get there. But don't you like to know, as a Christian, you know, the one who's expected to act a certain way, a one who has all these guidelines around us, narrow is the path that lead to the Lord, and the one that has to live by convictions. Isn't it nice to know that there is a time where you get to get crazy and wild? Whew. I'm going to share that with you in just a little bit. But for right now, we're going to stay right here talking about this, because I need you to understand that even though you see a lot of things that go against the Bible, even being talked about, it, whether it's in the media, whether it's in our government, whether it's in our school systems, we're hearing all these things that just doesn't even make sense. But in the middle of that, the one thing I want you to know is though God doesn't enjoy it, none of it is a surprise to him. And I want you to understand that generation after generation after generation has come to the point where people are walking away from God's way of doing things, where mankind goes in a different direction than God would request. And that's not what's important. What's important is that there is a generation within a generation that stands strong in the things of God, and therefore he can bring forth the will of God on the earth. Amen? I want us to remember something that the Bible says that we're not even going to be able to see the end coming. This is what we're going to get to next week, more so than today. But the Bible says that we are going to see before the end a great falling away. We're going to see people that fall away from God's way of doing things. We're going to see places where mankind's pressure on humanity is going to make even believers start to back up. But I will tell you something. If there is a great falling away, guess what else there is? A great adhering to. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to know that I definitely expect all of us to be in that category of the people that stand strong no matter what's going on. I'm going to tell you about a story, and then you can go and read it and read the details of it. But there was another time where God's people came under the tyranny of a king at that time. And what happened was there was a young lady by the name of Esther. This also happened to Daniel and Shadrach and Abednego. But today we're going to look at the fact that there was a young lady by the name of Esther. And I want you to know something, that this is going to speak to us, because sometimes we think that we have to be second or third or fourth generation of the most holy Christians in the world to be effective. Well, that's not always true. I want you to know something, that when we hear Esther's story, we don't even hear who her mother and father was. Amen? We hear that she lived with her older cousin by the name of Mordecai, who taught her things about faith. Amen? And she discovered her heritage as a Jewish person at the time through her cousin. And here she was, somehow by the hand and the grace of God, she became queen. Amen? And here she is serving as queen. And all of a sudden in the book of Esther, and definitely by the end of chapter 3, and it's a great story in there, you're going to discover that by the end of chapter 3, there was a mandate put out. Whew, praise God, that caused all the believing people, the Jewish people at the time, all of them, there was a mandate put out that if they are of the Jewish faith that serve God, that they were to be put to death. And I want you to know that we could go into all of that story, but I really just want to focus on just a few verses today, because Mordecai sent word to Esther about the fact that as the queen, she needs to stand and tell her husband, the king, what's going on. And of course, Esther has to deal within herself, just like we do sometimes. You know, sometimes you're at school, sometimes you're at work, and sometimes you're around people, and you might be at the family reunion, and you have to deal with yourself. Am I going to stick to my convictions? Or am I going to compromise myself in the middle of pressure? And I want you to know that every day it's becoming more and more clear that as Christians, we can never compromise ourselves because pressure comes. And I just want you to hear what Mordecai says, because he sent word and asked Esther to stand up and tell the king what they were trying to do to the Jewish people so that God's people could be saved. And I'm telling you, she had to internalize all that, because you couldn't go to the king unless he offered that time. And if he didn't offer that time, you could actually possibly lose your life for coming before the king, or be thrown in prison and lose your life, if it wasn't a time that the king was going to give you favor. So Mordecai hears about Esther's words, and it says that in Esther chapter 4, verse 12, it says, they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Because really, Esther sent back a word that she was kind of scared and kind of concerned and said, man, even though the king is my husband, I don't have a right to speak to him. See, sometimes we have got to make certain that we understand what God has done for us. And we're going to speak about that in just a minute. But for right now, I want to stay right here. It says, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Wow. See, I want you to know something. That again and again, the Bible shows us that no matter who's in charge, God will deliver his people. But I also want you to know something, that we are giving opportunities to make sure that we're part of delivering God's people. We're part of keeping the legacy of the word going. We're part of touching people, amen? And that's what Esther had to make a decision about, because it says that deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Uh-oh, we don't want to be in that group. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Praise God. So Mordecai went his way, Esther went her way, and guess what? She didn't perish one bit. She went and spoke to the king, and as God does, he gave favor to his people, amen? And deliverance came upon his people. And I want you to understand something. For us as Christians right now, more than ever, you're going to have to fight the voice of the devil that's going to try to minimize you. I mean, I can imagine poor Esther had to think through and think, my goodness, don't you understand? Just by being queen was an absolute miracle. I don't have the lineage. I didn't have the heritage. I don't have all the decrees behind me that should say I'm qualified to be a queen. But I want you to know something. God is speaking to us in the same way he spoke to Esther back then, because there's many of us who think that because we've been abused, because we've been rejected, because we've been mistaken, because we've made decisions that were not good, because we've dealt with addictions, and because we've dealt with sinful times in our lives where we didn't love God, we act as though that disqualifies us. But I want you to know something. God is speaking to us just like he did to Esther. You were sent to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen? And I want you to know something, that the abuse that has come against you, the rejection, even the mistakes you've made, the difficulties you've went through, I don't care if you came from a family of addicts or if your father was abusive and alcoholic, I don't care if any of those things. What I want you to know is that no matter what went on around you, God still looked at you and said, no, 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 if you and I connect, not only do you have the potential, but you are who I've chosen for this time. Woo! I want you to know something. You are God's chosen generation. You are his people. And you are special. See, the Bible says, when I'm weak, I'm made strong. What does that mean? The blood of Jesus can heal you from any past you've went through. And when you rise up in him, you are a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. Your past doesn't matter, just like Esther's history didn't matter. The only thing mattered was that she chose at the appointed time when she was called upon to stand for Jesus. Woo! Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. I want you to know something, that people forget that Jesus didn't have it easy when he was on the earth. In fact, the Bible says that he was in all points tested just like you and I. Do you know that there are people that made fun of Jesus because of how he was born? See, we in hindsight celebrate the miraculous, birth of Christ. It's one of the things we preach and stand on. At the time it happened, though, you were not even supposed to have a child or be pregnant until you were married.